From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the jolly person,
yes.
And forever the yes. Heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my producer, my friend, Count Panic himself.
Oh, hey. Hello. Hi there, Bob. It's good to be back here with you on another episode of Bob After Dark, as always.
As always?
As always.
As always. You sound great.
Thank you.
You look great. I don't know. You're wheeling around with your phone.
I'm just making sure that the levels are correct, Bob.
Excellent. Good job on checking on levels.
I got to check the levels. Every time we start the show, I make sure I am on the levels, and our levels look good, Bob. How's your levels?
My levels are okay. It depends on what levels we're talking about.
We're set then.
Stress levels, blood pressure levels, my level of caring.
I hope those levels are all, not the stress level. I hope the stress level is low, but.
No, the stress, it's okay.
I can't believe the host of Bob After Dark has stress. Bob himself.
I am not one of the night. I am not a vampire.
Yes.
As yourself, so I am a bit of just a normal human being who has stuff to take care of.
That makes sense, Bob. You know, us vampires have no responsibilities whatsoever.
Spooky levels, though, as the Queen of Night says in the chat, my spooky levels are through the roof.
Good. That's the main thing.
So that's the important
yes.
thing. Count.
Mm, yes.
Let's get your weekend update.
Oh, you know, Bob, a pretty peaceful weekend for old Count Panic here. You know, I do have, would you believe I have family members, Bob? I mean, a vampire does have family members.
You
so.
Got your clan, your...
The clan.
Yeah, you got the, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. One of the Count's aunts had a birthday, so it was nice to see her for her birthday. So that was really the highlight of the weekend. Other than that, Bob, you know, it's just one of those blended together weekends that was a little uneventful here. Especially after the holiday season with the veil that's at its thinnest. There's a down period of really nothing happening.
Sure.
How about you, Bob?
So, you would think my weekend would have been quiet. It was not.
Not quite.
I did my very first virtual panel at my very first virtual convention. I did 3 panels in 3 days.
3 panels? That's a record, I think.
Yeah.
See, you couldn't normally do that, Bob. This is the thing during this...
Well, I mean, I could do 3 panels in 3 days.
In person?
I'd be grumpy, but I could easily do that.
You know, jet plane.
Well, I mean, at the same con.
Oh, at the same. Oh,
at the
okay.
Same con.
I thought you were bouncing for 3 different cons.
No.
That'd
no,
be crazy.
No, but yeah. We did the. We had the show OhioCon, usually in Columbus, Ohio, moved virtual this year, and they were EhioCon this year. Hmm. And thanks to our pal Sarge Pepper, who runs the. Director of operations panels and stuff over at that. He booked up me for 2 panels this year. Friday night, we did our Paranormal and You panel, which was talked a little bit about Ohio and local Columbus legends and haunted spots. Mm. Touch base on America's favorite paranormal frog.
Kermit?
The Loveland frog.
Oh, okay.
And then Saturday night, we did the very first ever 18+ Bob After Dark panel. We did the Yokai and You, which was a Japanese monster panel, like demons, ghosts. That's a we can't talk about yokai on the typical show. Maybe some yokai that have friendly aspects, but for the most part, they're very non-family friendly. So I got to let my hair down a little bit and enjoy that panel. That was my first time doing a slideshow for a panel. Typically, you just hear me talk for an hour. But I made a slideshow.
Oh, when's the last time you were on a slideshow, Bob?
Oh, about 15 years, and boy, howdy, did it show!
Was it like from the '90s? A slideshow from the '90s?
I jumped on Google Slides. I figured it out. It worked out. The show, the panels went great.
Good.
We had a good crowd, for all things considered, for a virtual show. But we had a good time. And big shout out to the OhioCon staffers and to my pal and one of my mentors in the creative world, Sarge, for being so great and stepping up to help me out. And folks, if you're watching from the HioCon panels, welcome to the live show. This is where the magic happens, because in podcast land, I mean, I have post-production magic, but this is where the live show, this is where the meat and potatoes are at.
It's true. And you know, I know I have this popping up on everybody's screen, but Bob, your shirt's popping on the live video tonight. It looks nice.
Oh, thank you. This is actually one of my oldest shirts. It's my white and black pinstripe.
It's
one.
Trippy kind of when you're watching the video here, but I like it. I like it a lot, Bob.
Well, thank you, Cal.
But that's impressive. I mean, virtual cons, people are adapting.
You got
to
adapt.
Here.
They did it all through Discord, and I could not have asked for a better experience. They handled the whole virtual convention thing really well. They had chat rooms going 24 hours a day where people could hang out in different channels. And then on Sunday, I hosted a panel about hosting panels. It was panel... Jeez, I'm going to butcher the name. Paneling panels for the panelist.
Wow.
Panels.
Okay.
Something like that. But I hosted a panel with Sarge, because Sarge's got like 10 years of experience hosting show panels, and I've hosted dozens of them in my career. So we just kind of teamed up, and that's an informative one. There's no Bob After Dark flair to it. It's literally me just telling you how I went from hobby to pseudo career with paneling and the do's and don'ts of doing paneling.
Do we know, Bob, when was the first panel?
My first panel
was... Well, not necessarily your first panel, just the first panel in general in life.
I would say I couldn't tell you what the first one was, but probably one of the earlier ones would be like Socrates in ancient Greece.
Ah, that was considered a panel.
I would say it'd be a panel. Somebody knew had a thing they were discussing. There was a gathering of people. Some of those people drank heavily, just like you would be at a con, and they had a discussion. They stood out in front of a crowd of people and discussed something. And, so, Socrates.
And your first panel, of course, we all remember your first panel.
What was my first panel?
Yeah, your first panel.
What was my first panel?
Oh, was I at... Yeah, I was not.
You
at
were
the first
not
panel.
There. My first all panel right. was me and Dr. Ben Vanerson. Okay. We did Anime Milwaukee
yes.
2 years ago.
Perfect.
It's my first panel.
And now look at you doing virtual panels.
And
too.
Now look at me. Woo!
Well, you have to. It's the times we're living in right now, Bob.
Right.
That was here was a success.
So either way, thank you to the OhioCon staff. Everybody was wonderful. Everybody was fantastic. That show ran. That should be the staple of a virtual convention experience. They did it so well, and everything ran so smooth.
It's gotta be tough to pull off.
I'm sure it was, but they managed it. So hats off to them. If I'm doing virtual cons from here on out for a while, if all of them ran like that, I would be very thrilled and consider OhioCon like now staple standard of quality.
There's no, you still miss that concession stand at the cons. And
I mean, I drank still, so.
You got your own pretzel and nachos.
I had a, you know, some liquid courage, as I call it, before my panels, just like I would at a con, you know. I mean, it's okay. It's kind of nice because I kind of move around at my own pace. I'm not trying to jump from one end of the convention center to the other end. You know, this, I'm walking from my couch to the Queen of Knights office because that's where I was comfy at. So, I mean, I just kind of wandered in there like 8 steps. So the journey was not as epic. I'm not like dive bombing through cosplayers and cosplay photo shoots just to make it from one end to the other. This, I just kind of rolled off the couch and I was like, oh, okay.
Well, now, I'll be honest. I think you kind of just told us right there a hint.
Uh-huh.
Were you wearing pants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was wearing pants.
Because a lot of these people, they're doing these conferences and stuff. They're not wearing pants.
Yes, I can assure you I was wearing pants.
Okay.
I have to be comfy. It was cold in the house, too. So.
There you go.
All right. So thank you, OhioCon. Appreciate you guys. Now a staple of excellence, in my opinion. I also watched a movie about Japanese yokai, specifically the tanuki, which is the raccoon creature. Pompoko was a Miyazaki film, or a Miyazaki Studios film, and it was really good. If you guys are into lore and like the paranormal and not like ghost stuff but cultural stuff, highly recommend Pompoko's 94 film starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
So it's a family flick.
Kinda.
Really? 'Cause Jonathan Taylor Thomas was.
Well, I mean, it was his voice. That was when JTT was a very popular figure in the 90s.
Yes.
So I highly recommend Pompoko if you guys have not seen it.
I had the hairstyle.
I'd love to see those pictures.
Well, everybody in the 90s had the same hairstyle as a guy. I was just like,
I had the Triple H ponytail.
Yeah.
I had the Hunter Hearst Helmsley ponytail. That was my thing.
Yeah. I remember a couple different hairstyles of yours.
Yeah. Now you get the Bob After Dark curly hair pulled back look.
Yeah, it's a subdued.
It's definitely a look. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, the live show usually cuts closer to the content real fast, but we added some things to catch up on. We talk about everything, legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, cryptid sightings, and sometimes Panic's favorite Bloody Mary mix.
Yes, it's getting to that time of the night.
We also cover weird, spooky news stories of the week. We cheers out the people that leave us 5-star reviews. And sometimes we cover paranormal encounters that you yourself tell us. So without further ado, let's dive right in.
Okay.
Count.
Yes.
How familiar, this is going to be, by the way, folks, the weird spooky news of the week. We lead with that first, then we get to the lore of the week. I had to lay that out first.
Of course.
So how do you want your spooky news of the week? Do you want it starting off as horribly terrifying or fun and, you know, wholesome?
I feel like we should start off with the terrifying. That way we could be relaxed with the wholesome.
Okay, good. Because mine is dolls. Do you know what the scariest thing in the world is to me? And I've talked about it plenty of times on the show.
Minus dolls?
Minus dolls.
Jeez, I don't know. Dolls are your big one, though.
The concept of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And, you know, the rising of the Terminator. The Terminator itself doesn't freak me out. But something like, robot. I have no mouth, but I must scream type level of artificial intelligence. That stuff keeps me up at night. Mm-hmm. And the concept that, like, you know, you become fully integrated with computer and machine, and now this machine is dictating my daily life to you, and then I start feeling like I'm living in a human zoo, if you will.
Yeah.
Probably this one of the scariest things. I'd say two behind dolls. But there's one specific AI that really messes me up, and her name is Sophia, or Sophie. Sophia. There you go. Sophia. Sophia is a highly, highly intelligent artificial intelligence. She's been a controversial figure in news. They've reported, you know, she's considered a citizen in her home country. She has the right to vote in her home country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Privilege.
It's pretty legit. She's one of a kind for the most part. There's other prototypes of her. I mean, you can sit down and have a full-fledged conversation with this thing, and minus her giant blooming back of her head gears and wires and stuff, you would think that you're having a conversation with a human. She even has facial features that she could switch between depending on how the conversation is going. But the maker of the Sophia robot now plans a mass rollout amid the pandemic, and this story comes to us from Reuters. Social robots like me can take care of the sick or elderly, Sophia says as she conducts a tour of her lab in Hong Kong. I can help communicate, give therapy, and provide social stimulation even in the most difficult situations. Since being unveiled in 2016, Sophia, a humanoid robot, has gone viral. Now the company behind her has a new vision, to mass-produce robots by the end of this year. Hanson Robotics, based in Hong Kong, said four models, including Sophia, would start rolling out of factories in the first half of 2021, just as researchers predict the pandemic will open up new opportunities for the robotics industry.
Interesting.
Which I could get, I can understand. The world of COVID-19 is going to need more automation to keep people safe, founder and chief executive Dan Hansen said, standing surrounded by robot heads in his lab. That had to have been a sight. Hansen believes robotic solutions to the pandemic are not limited to healthcare, but could assist customers in industries such as retail and airlines too. Sophia and the Hansen robots are unique by being so human-like, he added. That can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. Hansen said he aims to sell thousands of robots by the end of 2021, both both large and small, without providing a specific number. A social robotics professor, John Hurin, whose research included work with Sophia, said that although the technology is still in relative infancy, the pandemic could accelerate a relationship between human and robot. I can infer the pandemic will actually help us get robots earlier in the market because people start to realize that there is no other way, Horn of the Hong Kong Polytechnic University. Hansen Robotics is launching a robot later this year called Grace, developed for the healthcare sector. Products from the other big players in the industry are helping fight the pandemic as well. SoftBank's Robotics Pepper robot was deployed to detect people who weren't wearing masks. In China, robotics company Cloud Minds helped set up a robot-run field hospital during a coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. The use of robots was on the rise before the pandemic. According to a report by the International Federation for Robotics, worldwide sales of professional service robots have already jumped from 32% to 11.2 billion in 2018 and 2019. Some humans might be wary of putting robots in sensitive roles. When asked whether people should fear robots, Sophia had an answer ready. Some said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," the robot mused. What did he know? Can we look at these answers these robots are giving? Before we get into my absolute fear, hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, you know what? During this pandemic here, there's been a lot of talk about robots and how fast maybe they'll move them out to the market. There was a discussion on one of the other shows here, Bob. I guess in the state of Illinois, there's a robot chef already in one of these restaurants. It's a robot. They're starting to make this robot that cooks the food for you.
Oh,
so
that's great.
Pretty soon they're going to be in our restaurants as well, cooking food. Now, here's the thing with that, too. You know, if you don't like the food, you could maybe argue with the chef, but are you really going to argue with a chef robot? That doesn't seem smart. They could melt you with their laser beam eyes, Bob.
Aside the laser beam eyes, I've listened to several of these interviews with Sophia. By the way, this article is brought to us by Dr. Ben Vanderson.
Interesting.
Several of these interviews with her lead to some very odd combinations of words. One time she looked at the person conducting an interview and said, "I really like you. I'm going to keep you in my human zoo." I mean, and that's just a couple of things. Sophia and another AI intelligence robot were set up at some kind of conference, I think it was last year or the year before. And at one point, Sophia and this other AI source shut down to where they had to be manually shut down. So they shut down user control and they started communicating with each other in such an advanced coding that us as humans had no idea what they were saying back and forth to each other in about 5 to 10 minutes. That stuff is horrifying. I mean, I can understand the benefit to having robotics in the world. Don't get me wrong. I love me a good episode of BattleBots, if you know what I mean. But this concept of these AI, you get to a certain point, it's like, I think, therefore I am, right? John Locke said that. And at some point, do you start giving these AI, more rights to votes and rights to live? And, what do they want to overthrow the humans as the dominant species on the planet? I mean, there's some legitimate things there. What's your take, Count?
Well, there's got to be an off switch, Bob. There's always got to be an off switch on some of these robots, or just pull the plug or something. Because I get it. Robots are important for our future. But you're right. They can't have too much power over us, Bob. And I think if there's somebody just designed these robots with a switch, I would feel a little bit better. Just an off switch where they're completely off, no funny business. Once you hit the off switch, they're done. And if you can make them like that, then I'm fine with it.
It's a classic classic tale from as old as science fiction itself. The AI overthrowing the humans, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Terminator. I mean, the list goes on, right? And the one that threw me off completely and what scared me the most was the I Have No Mouth But I Must Scream. It's a short story. That one will keep you up at night.
Here's the thing. You mentioned that show BattleBots.
Yeah!
Who's to say that if the robots are in control, they don't battle us humans in a ring? Like, the robots stand on the corners and we got to fight each other. So the robots are controlling us to fight.
Yeah, welcome to Battle Humans.
Yes, Battle Bobs, as was pointed out last week.
I think that's the Battle Humans. I think that's just professional wrestling or fighting or boxing.
But robots are controlling it. They're making us fight.
Yeah, ain't that something?
For their personal amusement. Eerie, Bob. Like I said, off switch. You need an off switch.
Ah. All right, you ready to move on?
I'm ready for the next one, Bob.
Thanks, Ben, for sharing that article with us. All right, this next one comes to us from the Associated Press, the AP. Comes to us from, I can't remember who sent this to me. Jeez, I got this like last week, and I can't remember where I saw it from. But I will find out, and next week I promise I'll credit
Perfect.
You. Oklahoma lawmaker proposes Bigfoot hunting season.
Okay.
Which, I don't want to get political on the show, so we're going to be very straightforward about things. So just keep in mind, folks, I'm not going to be talking about politics, but this is a story that directs directly with politics. We have a caller.
What, do you want to finish the Bigfoot one first? Or?
Well, it's going to take a bit to read.
All right,
you
got John on the line.
Hey, John, you're on the air. Hold on, John.
Nope, one second. Try it now.
Hey, John, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's happening tonight, Bob? How you doing with the snow?
Oh, not bad. Snow's done. We're good and fine and dandy.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad as I think they predicted it to be.
Absolutely. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how do you define a robot? Isn't it basically a tin can computer?
A robot would be an artificial, do my best I can describe this without using a dictionary. A man-made piece of technology that's used for some sort of function, both entertainment and mechanical or educational reasons.
But does somebody have to program it?
Yeah, I don't think there's self-programming robots yet.
Oh,
and if there are, you let me know, because that's a horrifying thought.
The count just mentioned, and this is a true fact, about that robot being a chef at a restaurant in Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's picture a menu with, 100 more plus items or whatever on there. How does he know what, how do you communicate with, how does a human communicate with a robot? And
binary code, ones and zeros. Lots of ones, lots of zeros, or in Sophia's case, depending if you're just a normal bystander, you speak to her directly as if you were another person.
I mean, that sounds like a joke, but I know, it's becoming a reality, and maybe, years to come, there will be a ton of robots out there doing different things, but, when you think about it, it's kind of hard to fathom that, you could have a chef as a robot already.
Technology is going along there, John. I can tell you something that a robot can't do. It can't replace me in panic.
There you go. You got me on that one.
We're still going to be around, folks. I promise we'll survive the robot uprising. We'll survive the robot uprising. We're fine.
Because I tell you what, the day a robot replaces you guys, that's the day I'm not calling anymore.
There you go.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in, John.
Yeah.
You don't think we could be replaced by robots, Bob? All the information
they've
taken?
No.
Okay, that's good to know. What? There's got to be things out there. I mean, robot chef. There's right? At the end of the day, Bob, wouldn't you agree? There's things out there that you can't replace with a robot. Occupations you can't replace with a robot. Like us.
No, and that's fine. And again, I'm not dogging the advancement of robotics. I totally understand the need for something robotic. Me dealing with a visual impairity, a visual handicap with my amblyopia, my eye issue with my lazy eye, if I can get some sort of cybernetic, you know, eye fixture thing that would correct the muscle imbalance, that sounds really cool, where I can see, you know, stereo. That would be fantastic instead of, you know, being able to see 3D imagery. That sounds great to me. Also, I won't have this cocked eye sometimes that I'm very self-sensitive about. You know, I approve the idea of advancement in robotics. It just scares me when you get to these AI talking about nonsense like, you know, craziness and scary talk like I'm keeping you in my human zoo.
Yeah.
That stuff scares me. So I just wanted to point that out. We went back to the story real quick.
And,
but
and don't shoot
I,
lasers
out
of that.
I'm not going to dog the concept of, you know, the future of robotics.
Of
I understand the need of it. I understand that that's going to cure a lot of things. And I understand you're going to give, you know, paraplegic kids the opportunity to walk with these. And I support that 1,000,000%. But the concept of an AI, especially with Sophia, that's scary to me. So we'll just
terrifying
real quick.
All right,
let's move on. Anyway, so this lawmaker proposes a Bigfoot hunting season. This comes to us from the Associated Press, again, who shared this article with me. Not 100%. I don't want to misquote who they are. When I remember, I promise I will quote you, and we'll even share you on the show next week, listener. So, a mythical ape-like creature that has been captured the imagination of adventurers for decades have now become a target for a state lawmaker in Oklahoma. A Republican House member has introduced a bill that would create a Bigfoot hunting season. Republican Representative Justin Humphrey's district includes the heavily forested area of the Owatchita Mountains in the southeast Oklahoma, where the Bigfoot Festival is held every year near the Arkansas border. He is issuing a state hunting license and tag that could help boost tourism. Establishing an actual hunting season and is issuing licenses for people who want to hunt the Bigfoot will draw more people to our already beautiful part of the state, Humphrey says in the statement. Humphrey says that a bill that would allow trapping that he also hopes would secure about $25,000 as an offered bounty. So you pay for your license, and then he offers the $25,000 as a bounty if you catch one of these Bigfoot. Micah Holmes, a spokesperson for the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation, which oversees hunting in Oklahoma, told television station KOCO that the agency uses science-driven research and doesn't recognize Bigfoot. And they're saying that the tax revenue from this can help bail things out. I can't believe there is an actual law being put into place saying that they're going to create a cryptid hunting season. I'm not going to get political on the show, guys. That's not what we're here for. I don't expect you to either. I'm just sharing the news. So if you're listening to this and you're angry, I'm a little confused by it. Count, can you make a note to see if we can get in touch with this, the representative, Justin Humphrey?
Justin Humphrey, sorry.
Yeah, let's see if we can get an interview with them next week and see if we can get to the bottom of this, because that's an interesting story. And I'm not sure what I think about it. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Of course, I get what they're trying to do. This is all maybe a publicity stunt here, but you know, we believe on Bigfoot in this program, so it'd be sad to see anything happen to Bigfoot out there. So, I mean, hopefully this doesn't go through, and I will reach out to those folks right there. But
yeah,
let's
see if we can get in an interview.
I think there's gonna be a lot of backlash for this, Bob.
We're gonna play a quick game.
Okay.
We're gonna skate a very thin line of political beliefs on the show. And the second I start to go up or above, you're going to call me out on it, okay?
I'll do my best.
All right, you're following along here. We're not a political show. We're never going to be a political show. But in order for me to talk about this topic, which directly involves with the subject at hand and the subjects I talk about week to week, I got to skate a line here. So you're going to catch me, right?
All right, I got
you're going to say up or down.
All right.
It is kind of funny that something like the Bigfoot Festival that draws in tons of people like the Mothman Festival has now drawn the attention of the government. And we are slowly going to maybe start taxing these people for an opportunity. Am I going up or down?
That's not bad. Okay. You're still, I think you're still.
Okay. I, kind
you're
of
not saying it. You're not saying anything too bad.
Yeah, it's just kind of strange that they want to start offering a season, you know, like you would deer season or anything else, to maybe draw some more tax revenue.
Do you think they know something we don't know, though?
What's up?
Maybe they know something we don't know. That there's.
I mean, there's a. They're offering a $25,000 bounty. Good for them. Maybe they know something that we do not.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
We'll find out.
Let's see if we can get in touch with this representative next week.
I'll check them out tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right.
Absolutely. Let them know we're not a political show.
I know.
Be like, oh, we're a paranormal show. Yeah. We're not a political show.
No.
Listen, guys, and I just want to stress this again. We don't do the left, right, center thing here on Bob After Dark. We're about the world that's beyond that. We're about the world that's the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care in this realm, this place that you live in, I don't care if you're left, right, center. I love you regardless. You're one of the children of the night. You're a listener of the show. You can have whatever political beliefs you want for the most part. Don't be killing kids or hurting babies, you know, like, or dogs. Like, don't do that.
That's not a political thing.
That's not a political thing. Just don't be a jerk. Don't be kicking puppies and we're going to be okay. You know, don't do that. Don't hate on your fellow person. We're good. That's my rule. Golden rule. I don't care. It takes many types to make the world go around. Right.
Yep.
All set.
All right, Bob.
Okay.
Good job.
I get worried about those things.
Yeah. No, you handled that great.
Thank you. And next week, we're going to potentially have this representative on the show.
You think they would want to talk about
it. I'm sure they are. And I'm sure, listen, you let them know when you reach out to them.
What time is it over there?
It's probably, it's 8:34.
Okay.
So I think they're an hour behind. But yeah. I'll get to this next one. These last two stories are very wholesome. 17-year-old high schooler discovered a new planet only 3 days into his NASA internship. The story comes to us from Board Panda and presented to us from our friend James from Peoria, the host of the Dragons Inn podcast.
Okay.
Back in summer of 2019, 17-year-old high school student Wolf Cuckier from New York joined NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt to start his internship, where his job was to examine variations in stars' brightness captured by NASA's Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, also known as TESS. On the third day in his internship, the teenager discovered a brand new planet lying in a system 1,300 light years away from us. And the planet is circumbinary, which means that it orbits two stars instead of one. Not like us. We only orbit the sun, but this particular one does. And it's pretty cool that what he discovered back then now turns out to be a planet. And they took some pictures, and this planet currently is called TOI-1388b. And they look very, very interesting, and they look very close to what you would think that, like, what we see about Jupiter. Very similar, except this color scheme is more blue and purple, so it's more of like a vaporwave planet with a giant dot located, and I would call it like its North Pole. Its North Pole, which is a giant storm vortex. But good for you, Wolf, for being able to track this thing down, and then, you know, these years later, we actually have pictures of what I'm calling a vaporwave planet. #PanicStake.
Well, that's a great first week on the job there, Bob. I mean, here you're all excited to start this new gig, and one moment you're just starting things, and the next moment you discover a new planet. I don't think there's ever been a better first week at any job. They got to give them that's employee of the month material right there. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say that 17-year-old internist probably deserves a different job title these days than intern.
Like a president.
I'd say so. They'd probably give him a better job at the at NASA.
At least a trophy.
I have a better name than the TOI-1388B.
What's that?
Bob Panicly.
Just combining names here now? Bobnik?
Bobnik or Panob?
I don't know.
Panob?
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 Oh, sure. Panob is fine.
Okay, listen, Wolf, I know you're a big fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. But if you're a big fan of the show, Wolf, and you're listening to this right now, and they're giving you the opportunity to name the planet. I know what you're thinking. You're probably going to want to name it Wolf or something. I get that, and you deserve that. But hear me out. We got gypped on the dinosaur thing. They didn't name the dinosaur. They didn't name the dinosaurs Bob and Panic.
I'm having deja vu here.
But here's our chance to have a planet named after us. Penob.
I'll take it, yeah. Well, either one. Bobneck has a nice ring, too.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. So someday, you and I, Count, we're going to weasel our way into something, one of these naming things.
The history books will take us, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, you know, people are going to be like, what's a podcast? Well, it was kind of like a radio show that you could listen to on demand. There was this one where they talked about ghosts, but somehow they ended up getting this, you know, this great big whatever, fill in the blank named
Legends
after them.
Legends will live on forever.
Exactly. I wish it was the dinosaurs, because, man, can you imagine, like, the dinosaur being put together, and then they just have a statue of me and you, like, looking up at it terrified.
That'd be great.
That's what I want.
And they can't take a dinosaur away from you. These planets now, I mean, you hear what the struggles Pluto has been through over the years, and I don't know if we want to go through that, so... But we'll take the planet.
We'll take the planet. Whatever's going on out there, something recently discovered, whatever.
We'll take it.
I demand it be, not demand, I'm going to ask really nicely that you name it after me and Count.
Yeah.
In some regard.
A high suggestion. Right?
High suggestion. Yeah. Speaking of discoveries, this next story comes to us from the Good News Network, and this is probably one of the most wholesome Bob After Dark stories you'll ever hear about. From terrifying AIs to where we're at right now, geologist finds a rare formation inside of a rock that looks exactly like the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street. When geologists go on research trips, they're normally trying to look for observed specific rocks, minerals, and fossils. What this California scientist wasn't expecting was to open a volcanic rock in Brazil, only to find an uncanny resemblance to the Cookie Monster. From the outside, the rock looked pretty ordinary. It's plain brown and shaped like an egg. But on the inside, it has a glorious cream and blue-looking interior. And on the top of the rock, there's the formation where it's white circles with black holes in the center. And the center where the rock caved in on itself does look it's a striking resemblance to the Cookie Monster. I'll share these on the Bob After Dark page. People have offered to buy this rock for $10,000 already. They're still trying to study it and what caused that particular formation, because this is as rare as it gets, and it just goes to show you that anything in this world is possible. Hashtag panic stick.
You know, I did actually see that picture, Bob, and it does...
Oh, you've seen it.
...do a striking resemblance to the Cookie Monster. Now, why stop here? Maybe they'll discover more things, like maybe the Alamo or the Count or Bert and Ernie. Keep going with it, Bob.
The Count? Now, are you any relation to the Count?
Yeah, but I could never make it up to 5. He goes past 5. I stop at 5, yeah. Probably one of the most successful counts out there. Look up to him.
You look up to him?
Yeah.
All right, real quick, who's more popular, Count from Sesame Street or Count Dracula?
Probably Sesame Street Count.
Oh, boy, don't let our listener Count Dracula.
I think we got a big following for Count
Count Dracula, anyway.
Yeah.
This just goes to show you how beautiful our world can be, folks, and how wholesome the world can be in the worst, darkest of times. Something like this can pop up that just make you look and smile and be like, that's beautiful. That's a weird mystery, but it's not something drastic. It's not something bad. This didn't end up from something terrifying, or at least we don't think so.
No.
But this particular story just left a smile on my face, and that's a lesson I wanted to teach all of you tonight. Is that you can still find beauty in this dark, dark world, in this dark, dark time.
True. That's right. Wise words there, Bob.
Yeah. Now, Count, if you ever come across one of these stories, do you know how to reach us?
How so? I know there's an email address.
BobAfterDarkShow@gmail.com. Or you could slide into our DMs on our social media, facebook.com/BobAfterDark. Or Instagram, @BobAfterDark. I have a New Year's resolution. We're going to get our Twitter up and running this year. And coming soon, the Bob After Dark TikTok.
I can't wait for that one.
So these things are coming, folks.
We got to get trendy with that.
We are getting trendy. Listen, I'm not getting any younger, and I got the show's going to get popular, more popular than it already is. I know we're a very vastly popular show, but we need to make this a little bit bigger and better.
TikTok is the way to get us there.
TikTok is, yeah. So we're going to get there. So if you guys get a chance, get on it. You guys can tell us. We would love to share these stories with you guys and give you reactions. Count Panic does not know any of the news articles going into what we do. And we get the panic stake from it. So if you guys find these weird, interesting, spooky news articles, get on it. Let us know. We're happy to share it. Only rule, make sure it's family-friendly because this is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, this ain't no midnight
NSF
show.
Yeah, no NSFW, no Bob After our content. You can skate that line, but don't cross it.
I think you laid down the law perfectly there, Bob.
Absolutely. Now, Count, we don't have any new 5-star reviews.
That's fine.
But do you want to know where you can leave us a 5-star review?
Where is that?
Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
Apple Podcasts, Bob After Dark. We just sort of starting to relaunch back into the podcast world now. We're going to be back on all of the major things by next week. That's the plan. Next week, we should be right back up running on all the major platforms for podcast land. But if you go to the one on Apple, you can leave us a review. Every 5-star review we get, Count Panic gives you a shout out on the show and cheers you some water. But we don't have one this week.
I don't even have a bottle of water.
Because he wasn't prepared. Yes. Now, you guys, we need those reviews so Count Panic doesn't go thirsty.
I know for sure.
So get on it, guys. Leave us those reviews so that way there Count Panic can drink some water and cheers you at the same time.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Another thing, folks, we want to start doing again is the paranormal stories. We want to hear about your encounters, your adventures, things that happen, lights in the sky, cryptid sightings. I want you guys to be the focus on the show again, and I think we've lost focus on making you the focus. So submit those stories to us. I want to hear them. We are a safe place. If you're a practicing witch and you summon something in this plane that doesn't belong and you're just looking for a place to talk about it, we are your safe place. There is absolutely no judgment here. If you think you heard something and you were able to skeptically explain it, I want to hear those too. Skeptics are very much welcome on Bob After Dark. So share those experiences. I want to hear them so we can get that back on the show. The other thing, if you are a paranormal investigator or a dabbler in the paranormal metaphysical arts, we want to start playing your EVPs. Those you have to email me, bobafterdarkshow@gmail.com. Email those, put the subject line EMF, EVP, whatever you're from, type out the story behind it, and I want to share those on the show as well. That's something big I want to start working on here. So if you have EVPs, this is the place to do it. So I'd share that.
Yeah. EVPs could be a crazy thing.
Absolutely. One last thing, folks, before we take a break. I don't know if you guys are paying attention in the social media world, but we do have a fan page, the Children of the Night fan page, which is connected by the Bob After Dark fan Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Our fan page is Children of the Night, ran by James from Peoria. We are doing a photo contest in 2021. Yes, we're a few weeks in already, but it doesn't mean you can't jump in. If you guys go over to the Children of the Night page, even on the Bob After Dark pages, I post a topic or a subject that you all are invited to take a picture in that regard, in that theme. And what you do is you take the theme and you take a picture. And that picture has got to be paranormal themed in some regard. So it could be unsettling. It could be spooky. It could be related to a haunted place. It could be silly. It could be occulty. It could be a witchy. Whatever you want it to be in the realm, but it has to fit the theme. For example, this week's theme is smoke. And I saw a couple people already putting up the pictures of them staging things. That's great. That works. You fit the theme. All I ask is you go on your social media stuff, like if you're on your own personal Instagram, post your picture, #BobAfterDark52. You can start now. It's okay to be a little late.
That's good to know, because I think people are out there see the contest already in motion.
It's not a contest. It's a challenge.
A challenge, yes.
And you could play catch-up too, guys.
Yeah.
You can play catch up. That's only like four or five pictures you have to take. So get on it, guys. I post that the topic every Sunday, and you can spend the rest of your Sunday playing catch up. And I'd love to see more of these photos. There's no contest. This is for you to stretch your creativity and for me to enjoy to see what you guys come up with in the world of the creative. So check out the Bob After Dark, the hashtag Bob 52. What was the, I don't even remember what it is, but the paranormal photo challenge, it's on there. Follow the hashtags on your social media. Check out what your fellow children of the night are up to. We'd love to see that. And, you know, no, it's not a contest, but a challenge for you guys to enjoy. Count.
Yeah.
You ready to take a break?
You know what, Bob? I've been thinking to myself.
Self, boy, I could use a break.
Let's take one, Bob.
Let's take a break, folks. We'll be right back to our live fans. Stick around. And to our podcast fans, you are going to be listening to words from a show that you should be checking out. Stay tuned. And we're back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Count Panic.
Bob, it's great to be back here. I don't know why I said it like that, but it's great to be back here, Bob.
That sounded so insincere.
Sound like a robot.
It's like, oh, yeah, good to be back, Bob. Did you?
Maybe I'm. Oh,
what did you do during break there, Count, as I get my EVP ready to launch?
I think a robot has hijacked the set here. No, I'm just kidding, Bob. It's still me, Count Panic. Of course. I was thinking about more things we could associate our names with here, Bob, during the break.
All right.
The sky's the limit. I mean, think about all the food items. Maybe we should. Can we get a pizza named after us? At the end of the day here, Bob, if we can't get a planet or a dinosaur named after us, we can get a pizza named after us.
That's not bad.
Any local places want to name a pizza?
It doesn't have to be local. We have fans from all over the country.
That's true.
Listen, do you run a restaurant or bar or an eatery, brewery, whatever you call it? Do you run one of those places? Is it paranormal themed? If so, name a food item after me and Count.
Pizza place.
Let us know, and I promise you free advertising on the show.
Here's the thing, though, Bob.
Yeah.
What if you, because you're a vegetarian. People know this is a well-known fact.
That's
about
don't
you.
Be making a meat lover's
I was
pizza.
Say, you
don't
can't be make it a something crazy now.
Don't be making a meat lover's pizza. Yeah. You know, me and Count Panic do enjoy an adult beverage once in a while.
Oh, a drink would be great.
So if you guys name a drink after us and feature it on your menu, I promise you free advertising on the show.
We'll have to check that in. We'll look more into that, Bob.
So I don't know if you're a bartender, you own a bar, you own a brewery, you name a beer after us, a pizza, cheese preferably. I'm a cheese guy myself, or cheese, spinach, cheese, spinach, tomato, something like that. The Bob After Dark pizza, the Bob After Dark drink. We have martinis named after us, but they're unofficial. And those things were amazing, by the way.
Well,
the smoking purple martini.
That's an official drink right there.
It is an official drink, but I can't order that at a bar.
No, we got to get that into the bar.
So we need to have a something that a place where you can see it on a menu, and I will promise you free advertising. I will come to wherever it's at. Continental United States, and I'll try. I don't care if you're in, I don't know, remote place in the country. If you have a spot like that,
Ohio.
Let us know. I'll go to Ohio.
It's not that far.
And I will try your whatever it is. I'll do a whole filming set there. I'll do a paranormal investigation of your plot, whatever.
Even if it's not haunted.
We'll
investigate something.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Would you like to know what I did during break?
What'd you do?
I was actually thinking about the Bob After Dark Sesame Street parody, our puppet show that we pitched.
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's
what happened with that.
It didn't work out.
Failed.
They weren't puppeteers, but I was thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, the Bob puppet puppeted by Bob.
Yeah, well, you know, puppets it's tough. They have to go on the hand. I didn't know that. So
yeah, exactly. What'd you think?
I don't get into Bob.
All right, Count. Would you like to know one of my favorite haunted stories of all time? Like a favorite setting for a paranormal experience?
Your favorite setting for a paranormal experience? Bob, what is it?
I love stories of haunted roads.
Haunted roads.
If there are two, I would say my top three favorite places for a paranormal experience is a hotel. Very liminal space, very much like kind of a weird environment. You never know when you stay in one of those rooms or something bad happened, you know? So I love the hotel ghost stories. I love the hotel room stuff. I like bars, haunted bars, because that's twice the spirits.
Yes.
Doo-doo-tsh.
Or you could say twice the booze, too.
Twice the... Oh, he's got jokes. Zing. Or haunted roads. I love a good haunted road story. You have to think that, like, you are so vulnerable in your vehicle driving along these things. Because it's never like a... stretch of highway, maybe like extraterrestrial highway or something. But it's never like going down 294 in from Illinois into Indiana. You know, you don't get... That's never haunted. The haunted road stories are always like these urban environments in like... rural environments that are like deep into the country and it's very remote, right?
Yeah.
And you're just in your car and it's winding, you know, back and forth and you see these weird like spots on the way and you're, you know, it's driving late at night and you see deer eyes in the distance and I don't know if you've ever seen deer eyes when you're driving at night staring at you, but my God, your brain starts playing tricks on you and you start thinking it's something else looking at you. It's just a really creepy setting, and I love those type of stories. And so this week on the show, I wanted to talk about a road. So I was kind of thinking about my favorite spots. A couple weeks ago, we were doing the San Antonio thing, and we talked about the Gunter Hotel in San Antonio. And I was like, okay, well, I complimented the San Antonio with the Gunter thing and the hotel. Let's compliment the hotel with a haunted road story. I went online and I started doing some digging. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do it on? And I found one. Because not only did it come up really fast in my searches, but come to find out, this is one of the most haunted roads in America. And it's in the Garden State known as New Jersey.
New Jersey.
This is the story of Clinton Road.
Okay.
Clinton Road is located in West Milford in New Jersey's Passaic County. It is a road that runs north to south. Over the years, the road has many ties to the paranormal world, including witch gatherings, Satanists, and other groups, or, you know, a normal Thursday night hanging out with some of the people I hang out with. Apparently, this is also a hot spot for seasoned serial killers to dump bodies in. There's not a lot of residential homes along the street on Clinton. And it's mostly rural areas with just a two-lane drive. Got one going inbound, one going outbound. Minus the paranormal happenings, Clinton Road has officially the longest wait time for a traffic light in North America as registered by the Department of Motor Vehicles. Where Clinton meets Route 23, if you get stopped by this traffic light, it will take 5 whole minutes for the light to turn green. And if you get caught by this light, it can lead to some insane amounts of traffic buildup. Now, I know you all aren't here for a traffic lesson. So let's dive into the weird, the paranormal, and the spooky. Clinton Road is known for more than just traffic jams, but a home of a ton of weird paranormal stuff. It's the home of the 3 a.m. driving YouTube challenges online. You ever see a 3 a.m. challenge on YouTube?
3 a.m. challenge on YouTube? No, I have not.
Well, the 3 a.m. Challengers on YouTube are YouTubers that are, amateur paranormal investigators. They do some sort of paranormal something online,
Okay.
and they make themselves a video. And if you look up Clinton Road on YouTube, you will find tons and tons and tons of these 3 a.m. challenges of people just recording themselves driving up and down the street. Many paranormal investigator types make these videos and them wandering around the road and claiming to see many a phenomenon. And it's up to you, the viewer, to decide whether or not they you saw some phenomenon in that video, or was it just a hoax? I wish I could tell you that there's only, a couple stories based on the road, but there's not. There's a lot of different ghost stories associating with different ghosts that are wandering around there. Some of the stories we're going to be talking about tonight aren't about ghosts, but real life threats that hang out there that apparently can cause you real physical harm. And some of these stories have a really nice twist to them too. The first story, that when it comes to the phenomena, is that of a little boy that is said to haunt a bridge right by the Clinton Reservoir, which runs parallel to the Clinton Road. It is said that if you pull over by the bridge and you get out and you look out over the railing or look out over the guard rail, you look down into the water, you may in fact see not your reflection, but one of a little boy staring back at you. Some say that if you're worthy enough, you can throw in a coin. Now, what kind of coin is it? Nobody really knows what it actually works. Some say it's copper, you throw a penny in. Some say it's a quarter or a half dollar or a dime. But if you're successful, you can have the boy manifest in front of you on the bridge. But if you throw the wrong denomination of the coin
Okay.
in, you'll actually get the coin thrown right back at you. Brings a whole new term
Yeah, I'm
to
trying to
the
think about
brings a
that.
whole new term to
I don't
the
know if I would
they
even
toss a
try that.
coin to the
Yeah,
Witcher.
yeah. I wouldn't bother with that.
There is no real origin story to the little boy. However, the story does get weirder. Some say that if you stare at the reflection of the boy long enough and you don't throw a coin in to appease it, you will feel a force that pushes you into the water. Now, the one bridge that's right by the ravine isn't the only one. There is another a little bit further north than the one by where it's famous at. Both bridges are said to be able to summon the little boy at. One bridge is right by Dead Man's Curve, which is the famous one. The one a little bit north is just a normal bridge that runs along the ravine. Both bridges areas are claimed that they actually have the ability to summon the little boy. Both say that they have the ability to have the little boy's presence be shown. Nobody knows really why. Both areas are claimed that maybe the little boy died on either bridge. Some say that maybe his home was close by. Either way, this little boy is said to be haunting the Clinton Road. You all right there, Count?
I am.
What do you think of that story?
Well, the haunt the roads. I think it's terrifying with the children, though, too, especially because you don't know what their backstory is and to be gone at such a young age. But the whole thing with the coins, like I said, I don't think I would even mess with something like that just because I'm kind of terrified to find out what kind of coins coming back my way. So I might just leave that one to be there, Bob. Might just leave that one to be.
So you're not going to throw a
I don't
coin.
think I'm gonna throw it, but
You're not
plus
going to
two.
toss a coin to your ghost boy.
And I'm very frugal,
Oh,
Bob,
panic
so
of plenty.
very frugal, so I can't be tossing coins around like nothing here. And they're a ghost. Why do they need a coin? No, I'll just keep mine. Thank you very
So other than the little boy ghost that throws coins at you, depending on what denomination of coin you throw in, there are other stories of other phenomena that happen. one of which is a story of a ghost truck. It is said that if you're driving up the road, eventually you might look in your rearview mirror, and right behind you, tailgating you, is an apparition of a truck. The faster you go, it's making you wind around curves at very high speeds, trying to ram you off the road. And it's possible that if you get, you know, you might lose your place, you might fall right off and end up in a ditch somewhere and maybe perish. If you are able to outrun this truck, it is very much possible that this truck will just disappear completely.
So, okay, so if you outrun this truck, it disappears completely.
Yeah, if you outrun it, it disappears.
What happens if you don't outrun it again?
You're probably going to crash because you're driving down a rural road very fast and winding motions.
Okay, so you better win this race is what you're saying to me. If I'm planning to beat this truck and race this truck, I better win is what you're telling me.
Yeah, because if not, you're going to crash.
Okay, well, so how fast do we know how fast this truck goes? Does it say the speeds in there?
No.
No.
But there's stories of a ghost truck.
Okay. Well, it depends how fast these ghost trucks drive. Take my chances.
There's another story of people that go hiking into the woods. And when they're hiking along the woods along the Clinton Road, that you might get approached by two park rangers who are warning you of an oncoming threat. And this oncoming threat, aren't very specific about. Upon further explanation and examination of the park rangers, you actually find out that they died in 1939. So these park rangers aren't what they seem,
okay,
but are of ghosts.
Now, how do you want to come across these park rangers again?
It's said that if you hike along the wooded area around Clinton Road, you'll actually see these park rangers.
So you'll
rangers.
See them, and they appear real.
Yes.
Okay. What if you ask them for help? They don't help you, or they just...
They're just come to you and they warn you of an oncoming threat.
Well, that's...
And they just disappear.
Well, that's... You know what? Oh, in front of you?
They walk away and just disappear. They they're like, oh, be careful. There's something bad happening, and these park rangers end up...
Yeah, they seem friendly,
Yeah, if
though,
you go looking into them, you find out that they're actually two park rangers that died.
They seem friendly.
There's another story of a haunted Camaro that rides up and down the Clinton Road. If you go on Clinton Road, you mention this lady's name by the name of Barbara. It is said that you actually will come across her ghostly Camaro cruising up and down Clinton Road for all of eternity.
Before we go back to the show here, I apologize. Somebody was trying. I was talking to you, and somebody was trying to call it. So call back 219-845-1100. So this Camaro here you're talking about here, Bob.
Yes.
Has the truck? Now these are two different. This is once again. This is all the same road here.
Yes, it's just two-lane road.
Okay, because the truck, you told the story just about the truck right there, and now you're bringing up the Camaro again.
Well, there's different ghostly apparition cars on this road.
Okay.
But the two most famous are the one of the truck and the one of the Camaro.
Has anybody ever seen the truck racing the Camaro?
No.
Okay.
I don't think the two have interacted.
That would be something else. Some people see the truck, some people see the Camaro, but to see the truck and Camaro together racing. That would be a sight to see. I think a rare occurrence there for sure. While the park rangers are looking on, might I add.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also ghost animals up and around Clinton Road. There was once a place around Milton, the Clinton Road area, called the Jungle Habitat. And what the Jungle Habitat was kind of like a precursor to the classic safari or Jurassic Park looking thing, where you would drive up and around and you would see these exotic animals that would be hanging around this road. In one case, people have seen strange animals wandering around in the woods up and around the areas, and one of which was this giant giraffe. People are like, why is there a giraffe wandering around in New Jersey that we can't explain? Well, come to find out that the safari closed due to mysterious reasonings once upon a time ago, and people don't exactly know what happened to these animals. And unfortunately, if you're not taking care of exotic animals in the proper fashion, they're not going to be with us much longer. In this case, this ghostly giraffe might actually be an apparition from the jungle habitat that was at the area around Clinton Road.
Ghost animals too, Bob.
Yep, we have a caller.
We got a couple callers here. So
all right, let's take...
We'll go in order here. We got Aaron up first.
Aaron, you're on the line. Where are you calling from?
Do you know who I am?
Hey, Aaron. Where are you calling from?
I want you to guess where I'm calling from,
oh.
Robert.
Oh, that sounds like a New Jersey accent to me.
How dare you, sir? Clinton Road is 20 minutes away from me.
Oh, really? Have you ever driven up and down it?
All the time. a funny thing. So I was calling to tell you the story about the Camaros.
Sure.
But we were told that her name was Angelina.
Okay.
Angeline, I don't know, because, but also that whole area, that reservoir you were talking about, the Clinton Reservoir, is man-made.
Okay.
It was they filled in basically what was a town. It is one of the deepest reservoirs in New Jersey.
Okay.
And the mafia used it for their own purposes. Wink, wink.
Sure, right.
The mafia would sort of inflate the ghost stories and the paranormal activity around there to keep people away. But it sort of backfired because then you get kids like me in high school who are bored and we live in the woods and sure, why not? Let's go drive around a ghost lake.
That's very bizarre.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. No, we're listening.
Okay.
It's interesting because I don't get a lot of these national calls from other places where people actually have visited. I know who you are. Yes, you're Aaron. I do, and I'm listening. So it's interesting that you got a different version of the tale than the ones I read about online. That's Legend Building 101. There's just like the little boy's ghost that house was here or there, depending on which version of the story you get. It's interesting that you're a local and you got a different lady's name. And I bet if you look back in newspaper clippings, you probably won't find a crashed Camaro story on Clinton Road.
And we were always told that it was like a very specific Camaro. It was like an 80s Camaro. So I don't know if possibly, like, what year did the Camaro come out? In the 60s? 50s?
Sure.
50s. So I don't know if maybe they've just kind of changed the year of the car as time has gone on. But like my parents, like everybody's families who, like, I grew up very close to New York. Everybody's families commuted into the city, back and forth to the city for work, and then they would come up here for their vacation time. So,
okay.
Also within this area is, I can't remember the real name of it, but there is the Boy Scout camp that they filmed. Camp Crystal Lake, basically, is around here.
Okay.
So, where was I going with this? And the jungle habitat that
yeah.
you were just talking about. My parents both went there as children.
Huh.
To, like, go and see the sites. It was kind of a Tiger King situation.
Be nice, we're a family-friendly show.
No, that's all I'm going to say. It's
sure,
a Tiger
sure.
King situation. The animals were not well taken care of. They went bankrupt or something like that, and they just abandoned the animals. And the animals kind of, survived for themselves. So there were also stories, I think, thinking back, I heard these stories as a kid, which was in the 90s, but if the place shut down in the 70s, there's no, I don't know, what's the life age, what's the lifespan of a tiger? What's the lifespan of a giraffe even?
Sure, I'm
and
not.
And especially in, like, now, I know you guys get winter. You guys get winter.
Right.
We get winter, too. So I don't know what the lifespan of a jungle animal in 30-degree weather would be.
I mean, that's very possible. I guess they probably weren't thinking building some sort of drive-up safari in the middle of New Jersey.
No, they weren't thinking at all because it's New Jersey, let's face it.
I'm not from there, can't speak on it. New Jersey fans, I love you. I love you. My New Jersey listeners absolutely adore you. I didn't say that. One of you said that.
They know how to make a quick buck. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Aaron. I appreciate your time and sharing some stories about being there. That's very exciting.
Yeah, you and I are going to talk about this later, and you're probably not going to enjoy it.
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding. I love you. I'm just kidding. Love you.
Have a good night, Aaron.
Bye.
Bye. Who do we have next?
How about that? Representing New Jersey, Aaron was right there. We got Jim on the line here.
Jim, you're on the air. I can't even talk.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? First time caller to your show and first time really listening.
Oh, well, thanks for being a first on both there, Jim.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you're keeping Tony in line.
He's keeping me in line a little bit tonight, too. I think we're giving and taking here.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you what you thought, and I'm sure you've probably read a lot about it and have probably been to it, of that the devil house that was in Gary.
Yeah, man, that's been a popular topic tonight. Mm-hmm. The past couple of nights, people have been sharing articles about it.
Yeah, I was just wondering what you think of it and stuff.
Without going too much into it, because there's another paranormal investigator who's very much legally entitled to a lot of that story. It's a very popular, very interesting paranormal phenomena that happened literally in our backyard here. The evidence is very concrete from what I know, from what I've seen. I have interviewed people that have been involved with that case personally and directly. There's only so much I can cover about it because of, legalese. But I don't know how much of it I believe can be fabricated, because there are things that are written on oath and written, in court documents and stuff about these things. So it's interesting to see what exactly was truth and what was fabricated in that story.
So if stuff's written, like if there's legal documents stating it, you can't even report on that? Because
I can, it's just not kosher.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I could probably do an entire episode based on it.
You don't want to take his scoop.
I do not. Oh, no, okay. And he's, Zach's a very powerful person with a lot of people, and I just would rather not have him come knocking on my door.
Here's a question about that.
Hit me.
Too. There was a Catholic priest involved with it.
Yes, sir.
And I guess in your travels with that, when a priest gets involved, is it pretty? And you get to the level of that story, is it usually pretty credible?
That's a good question, man. I appreciate the good
questions.
I know
who this is now. He's with the good questions here. Yeah.
So Jim, the thing is, to get a Catholic priest involved with a paranormal situation, you have to have a lot of proof. A priest is not about to come out and perform an exorcism without concrete evidence of something, it not being a leaky pipe or squeaking in the walls. There are different people out there that can come and perform exorcisms, but an actual Catholic priest, that's a right. That's a sacrilege.
There's a chain of command there too.
It's a chain of command. So if you have the evidence to prove, and the priest is there blessing your house, and their chalk is blowing up in their hands, you probably have something there that brings a little bit more credibility to it than just, two paranormal investigators showing up to something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Was that part of the story? He went to bless the house and the chocolate?
No, I just made that up. That's not directly related to that case, but I have heard cases where a priest would show up, do the blessing of the house with the chalk and the holy water. You get the house blessing kits. And the priest was writing the inscription on the doorway. I grew up Catholic. I know what I'm talking a little bit here. They wrote the
KBM or KMB.
KMB, yeah. Man, thank you, Jim. And they wrote it, and the chalk actually exploded in their hand. And it just poofed before they could finish.
And there wasn't a nun throwing it at him.
No. Jim, I appreciate you calling in and asking the educated question here.
Well, hey, you guys have a good night. It's good to listen to you.
Absolutely. Thanks. Check us out. We're on every Tuesday.
I'm going to.
Thank you. All right.
You know what? I was thinking about what Jim was saying there, and I know you're going to get back to the road here, but
sure.
If there was a nun present at the demon house, I bet those demons wouldn't act up. Just got to hit them with the ruler a couple times.
Nuns cannot practice an exorcism.
But they could hit them with
like
rulers.
A Catholic exorcism is done by the Catholic priest.
They could still hit them with rulers, though.
Don't come back until you redeem yourself.
The hands. Hurt, yeah.
I didn't go to Catholic school. I never got walloped with a ruler.
That was before my time. I think that stopped somewhere in the 70s or 80s. I passed it up, luckily.
You ready for some true crime stuff that correlates with this?
Sure.
The true crime crossover event.
Why not?
On May 14th, 1983, a bicyclist was traveling down the road when he came across a gruesome sight. A human body tossed to the side of the road that was being eaten by a turkey vulture. That body later was identified as Daniel Deppener. Upon calling the police and getting investigation out there, they discovered that the body was frozen internally by icicles, preventing him from being identified both physically at the time of death, and what caused the death. Later, come to find out, this was an actual case of a murder by the name of Richard Kolinsky, known as the Iceman, who actually dumped one of his victims on Clinton Road.
Well,
interesting stuff.
This is certainly a true crime aspect of the show now.
We never get true crime. We hang, I always say this, the paranormal shows and the true crime shows, we hang out on the same bowling league.
Yes.
But we're not the same exact team.
They could tie in together from time to time there. We might see this here right now. So some grisly stuff right there, Bob. Some grisly stuff.
There's stories of a cannibal family who tosses a couch in the middle of the road. And if you pull over to try to move the couch so you could keep driving or go to investigate, the cannibal family will run out from in the woods and eat you.
Okay, wow. I take my chances with racing the truck there, Bob.
A little deeper into the woods off to the side of Clinton Road, there's a castle-like structure with a forge. Some believe that this forge at one point was used for sinister reasons. Reality, they used it for, like, wartime effort and railroad spikes. But the castle itself is an interesting structure because we're not exactly sure why it was built the way it was. But there does exist this castle where people now go and perform rituals at, and not the normal rituals of a kitchen witch blessing their pasta salad or whatever they have. This is the type of ritual where somebody would try to summon something and not know exactly how to get rid of it. Newbie witches performing some sort of curse, and unfortunately they release something. So the castle itself on Clinton Road is said to be extremely haunted as well. Count you there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the castle, Bob.
It's a random castle in the middle of the woods in New Jersey.
Yeah, I wouldn't go in there.
The good news is that all of these stories are very much a part of that culture, as our caller talked a little bit about earlier. According to Weird New Jersey, if you go out and you peek over these bridges and you look into the water, you'll see tons of coins, like, just chilling at the, you know, the floor of the water, the water area. So people are out there and they are doing these things, which is very great. Just be careful if you're on Clinton Road and you're wandering around, especially at night. Because it's not much different than, like, Archer here in Chicago. It gets really dark there, apparently. And it's extremely dangerous to be walking around. So be very careful if you're wandering around Clinton Road at night.
Or any road at night, Bob, I feel.
That's a Bob After Dark PSA. Yeah. So, folks, if you're out there visiting this, just be careful when you're out there. Wear your reflective tape if you're out at night trying to get video footage or whatever. Really exciting stuff. For everything from a ghost boy to ghost cars, to a body actually dumped by a serial killer, Clinton Road goes down as one of the most haunted roads in North America.
And, you know, we have our own local supposedly haunted roads around here. But this one sounds like too much paranormal activity to handle, Bob. You got park rangers, you got animals, you got racing trucks, Camaros, ghost Camaros. A lot of activity for one stretch of road.
Yeah.
Are you going to take a trip?
I would love to. I'm not.
Would you race the truck?
If the truck came at me, absolutely. Okay. I'm not going to let no ghost truck get me. I have not spent a lot of time in New Jersey, but I would love to see Clinton Road. It's one of those most like haunted locations you can go down, and it's pretty cool. I would like to see it. In the Midwest, a couple big ones. We have Reeder Road here, and then Vixis was talking a little bit about it earlier, going and taking the shortcut from the Walworth County Fairgrounds, and you would end up being on Bray Road.
Yeah,
which we get the beast of Bray Road here. So this is just one of those stories of these haunted roads, and in this case, we just have a lot of phenomena in one location, from a ghost boy throwing coins at you to park rangers, Camaros, you know, lots of interesting stories there.
Yeah, no. Well, it's worth the trip, I think, Bob. It's worth the trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got Erin down there. She could give you a tour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Count, do you have any closing words for us tonight?
Closing words. Remember, if you're a pizza place and want the pizza after us, just let me know. We'll be down there to eat it.
Absolutely.
Our drink, or anything.
Anything. We're still looking for that.
Yeah. How about you, Bob?
Folks, thank you so much for listening and watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.